Morning.
Morning.
How's everyone doing?
Everybody doing good.
Okay, everyone just come in and grab a seat. Yeah, we did take showers, I think, so, you know, there's lots of chairs up front. Well, it's good to see you all. It's another beautiful, beautiful day. I didn't go, but I heard the fair was ridiculous yesterday with a nice sunny day, and we didn't have it last year, so I'm sure it's packed out. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not there today. So I'm sure there's lots of people having a good time again today. So we just need to keep praying for the people to go, whether you go or other people go. We just pray that there's no big major fallout from that, and that people have a good time. So just a couple things before we get started. Every week, Nick, if you come here early enough, and Nick's got all the slides running and the bulletins, there's lots of needs of help. Nick's been running the sound for, geez, I don't know how long now, pretty much by himself. So if anybody has an interest in that, I know he'd love to train you. He'd love to sit where you sit on a regular, time-to-time basis, because if he goes down, this is going to be all a cappella, because no power. I think I know how to turn the system on. That's about it. So we have that. There's lots of needs. So, as always. So just, I know that's always out there for a lot of people are always asking for help. But we're kind of getting to that place where it's getting kind of on a desperate place. But I know Nick needs a break, but he can't take one because there's no one else to do his job. So just be praying about that, thinking about that. If that's not you, be praying for somebody to come and join us that they love that kind of thing, right? So just keep praying about that with us. And then I know there's probably not a lot of you that remember Jim and Nicole Marsh. I know elders and wives, family know. Anybody know what happened to Nicole's parents a week ago today? Anybody know?
Yes.
A few of you. Yeah, she lost both her parents in an accident a week ago. And can you imagine that? Losing mm-hmm. both your parents at the same time. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. But I was really, I was sick all last week, and Jim texted me on Monday, and I hadn't heard about it. And so I was just really thankful that he reached out, and I've been communicating with him all week and touching base. And so just keep them in your prayers, because I can't imagine my parents are both alive. Some of you can relate to that. You've lost parents and that kind of thing. But just be praying for Jim and Nicole Marsh, if you would. I know they'd really appreciate it, and they used to be part of us, and they're still part of us, even though they don't go here, they haven't gone here in quite a few years, but mm-hmm. I would just ask that you would just lift them up this morning and the rest of the time. And again, most of you know, like when you lose someone, people are right there for you in the interim or the first month or so, and then they kind of just disappear, right? So I'm going to keep touching base with them, and we just keep praying for them, and reaching out and whatever they need. If we had the ability to help them, we need to do that. So I just wanted to give that to you. I know it's kind of somber, but, that's... Yes, ma'am.
Can we just pray right now?
Sure can. You want to pray, Leah?
Sure.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Leah. Appreciate that. All right. Well, let's worship. And again, I keep saying this. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you're comfortable with, we're good. So let's just worship this morning.
Of our heart, Lord, that we would be overcome by your great love for us, your sacrificial love for us, Lord. We thank you that you gave it all. You gave your best for our worst. We thank you that you turned our ashes into beauty. You give us an oil of gladness. We thank you that the joy of the Lord can be our strength. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I'm feeling prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for the comfortable. Come thou home, come thou deep, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Here your bride to you is seen. Come thou fount of all the sea. Come thou foam, come thou keen, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Here your bride to you is seen. Come thou fount.
Praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea.
Thank you so much for this time of worship. There's nothing that compares to you. You are our hope. You are our way. You are our life. You are the words of life. You are everything. And when we get our eyes off of that, when we get our minds focused on the situations around us, life gets pretty dark. Life gets pretty bleak. Life gets hopeless. Nothing more than the enemy likes than to have that happen in the minds and the lives of the saints. But Father, I pray that we as your church here in this place and our brothers and sisters around our state and our nation and around the world this morning, that you would build a fire inside of us like never before. That we would thirst and hunger after you in a way that's not just something to say, but something to live out. Father, carve out anything in our lives that would hinder that. Take away the stoppers out of our ears to hear your voice. Take the blinders off our eyes to see you and your glory. And your power that we have access to. May we rest in that your words when you say, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Father, we need to rest in the midst of our busy lives. We need to rest in the circumstances we find ourselves in. Father, you speak. You speak today. The words that you've given your son, Mike, this morning. And may we have nothing other than to hear your voice.
God is good, amen, and all the time, there it is. We say that and it can become a ritual, but do you believe it? When hard times come, is God still good for you? Do you still recognize that he's the one who, if all we ever experienced from God was the salvation, the price Jesus paid for our sin to be forgiven so that we can enter into that relationship with him. If that's all we ever experience, Isn't God still good? No matter the hardships we face. Well, Alaska is an amazing state. Every time I speak, I generally have something to say about that. And there's so much fun that you can have here. I don't know. We live here because probably we enjoy what Alaska offers, that very few places in the world do. So anyway, having had a mailing address in 12 different states and having lived all over the United States in 3 different countries, I find this to be an amazing place to encounter God. And whether you're spending 3 days in the pouring rain and cold on some mountaintop, or whether you have the bright sunshine and warm days, God is still good. But life can be a challenge because we have an enemy of our soul. Now, church, I do welcome response, and I want to say this. You do understand that there is one who is eternally opposed to your soul, right? You believe that? So many people believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but they act like they don't believe in Satan and his demons. They act like they don't believe that there are spiritual forces arrayed against us. But they are. I had a colonel in the Marine Corps tell me many, many, many years ago, when the church was going through a hard time and people in the church were going through a hard time. And he said, you know, when we were in Vietnam, nobody asked us why Charlie was attacking us. We were at war. We expected Charlie to attack. We just didn't know when, where, or how. So we had to prepare, and we had to get our minds set for that. We had to be ready for when that happened. Well, Satan's our enemy. He's not our friend. And we need to be expecting the fact that we're going to get attacked. Now, sometimes, and what he prefers to do, is to attack subtly with lies, deception, getting us to have just enough truth that when he weaves in a lie, we don't recognize it. And the world begins to impose on us a cultural belief of things that aren't true. So I'm going to say it up front. I think that we as Christians need to be lie detectors and truth tellers. I'll say that again. Lie detectors and truth tellers. And where we start with is God's truth. We can't detect a lie until we know the truth. Would you agree? Amen. So today we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I happen to be preaching and studying through with the New King James Version. That is my preference, but they're all good. I mean, I don't care if it's the Holy Bible and Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit will use that to guide you and teach you. So no problems there. Just that you may read this and it may be said a little differently than what you're reading. And so I want to read this text first before we get moving any further. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I pray that prayer constantly. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, we think that the things we have planned are somehow better than what he has planned for us. You know, I'm just so convinced that heaven is so much more than this world can offer. It's so much better, so much greater, it's so much more fabulous. It's so great, and you've heard me say this before, I think, but if you haven't, I'll say it again. It's worth repeating. When Moses wanted to see God face to face, God said you wouldn't survive it. Boom, there it is. God's glory, the glory of heaven, is so great these mortal bodies can't survive it. Boom. So he hid Moses in the cleft of a rock, and he allowed him to see his fading glory as he passed by. And he glowed for 40 days. The people were afraid because he was glowing when he came off that mountain after seeing the glory and the appearance of God just fading away. He didn't even get to see him face to face. So if that is what God was like then, and he has prepared a place for us, and if there is no shadow of turning with God, that means there's so much light that there are no shadows of anywhere, all encompassing. If God is love, that's his essence, how can this world be better than what's waiting for us? And in that place will be no one except those who love God and know that he is good all the time. I just think that that is an amazing idea, and that the beauty and the glory of heaven is something I long for. And I love my family. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. And I love this life. I so enjoy experiencing what God has in this place. But heaven is going to be so much more. And so therefore, that's how it starts, chapter 2. What is the therefore in reference to? Well, he had just been speaking about it. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The therefore refers back to that idea. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, that's what I preached about on the 8th, a couple of weeks ago. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is, well, what he's doing here, Paul, is he's helping those who are at the church in Philippi come to a place that says, you know, whatever they may have been thinking or saying, he's saying, if there is any, that's kind of like saying, if there are any mountains in Alaska, You know, it's not a maybe, it's a given. If there's any consolation in Christ, can you say that there's no consolation in Christ? But the difference is, have you experienced it? Is it your truth? Now, that's a phrase that I don't like much, your truth. There's only one truth, is right here in this word. But have you experienced the truth? Is that gospel your story? Because this is the only truth we have. Everything else is a lie. So our thoughts and our attitude are very important. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, we must be in Christ. We must experience who Christ is. And we must, I don't know if you remember me talking about being pickled in Christ. You remember that? How when you make pickles, you blanch them and then you immerse them in you actually baptize them into the solution that turns them into pickles. And they become something different than they were. Start out cucumbers, now they're pickles. Their actual substance has changed. We need to be in Christ in that way. In Christ. Allowing Him to change us and make us different than we were before. If we keep walking as we always were, and we're just still cucumbers pretending to be pickles, then that isn't going to work. Our thoughts and our attitude will determine our actions. Is our conduct worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ? Romans 12:2 says, and you've heard me say this many times, and I will continue to repeat it. It's a very important concept for us as believers, especially if we are going to be lie detectors and truth tellers. And so, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and perfect will of God. So God's work is the transformation. You see, as a cucumber, I can't just make myself a pickle. That's God's work. All right? But I do have to cooperate. I am, God needs me, doesn't need me, but He tells me that I have to renew my mind so that His transforming work will take place in my life. Therefore, we need a new mindset. The world has given us one mindset. Even the church, friends, I'm going to say it right out in plain language. Even in the church, we get a mindset that gets comfortable and that denies the truth in some ways by our actions or lack thereof. I'm not pointing fingers. Don't misunderstand that. But I've seen churches all over this country that will sing the songs we sang, will experience this uplifting blessing in the soul as we encounter the loving God, walk out the doors, and live life like everybody else. They'd never pick us out as something different. They'd never recognize that we were a pickle and not a cucumber. Our attitudes determine our altitude. You've maybe heard that before. So Paul goes on to say, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Now let me walk that through just a little bit more, because he starts out, any consolation in Christ. The in Christ is the key here. That's where he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way, truth, or life to the Father. He's the only way. So, in Christ is the key. But he goes on to say, so if you've experienced that at all, any at all, just even a little, if any comfort of love, oh, friends, have you experienced the love of God? Have you experienced a love that is so totally and completely free, unconditional, sacrificial? Have you experienced the love that loves you this much? The kind of love that would be nailed on a cross for my sins. Have you experienced that kind of love? Even a little bit? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Has God's Spirit guided you into the truth? Has God's Spirit been your counselor and been your advocate? Has the Holy Spirit empowered you to live differently, to know and understand? It's the Holy Spirit's work to guide us into all truth so that we can be lie detectors and truth tellers. But this world right now is bombarding churches all across America with lies. But it's just twisted. It's enough truth to just take you out of tune. You know, we listen to these wonderful musicians, and you just got to turn things just a little bit to get them out of tune. Any affection and mercy. All right, you know what I'm saying. So Paul comes through that, and after he says, if, and again, refer, I want you to understand, Paul, in his saying these things, is saying it as if the church at Philippi understands absolutely these things have been experienced. It's like saying, absolutely, Alaska has mountains. Okay. He says, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, one of the hardest things there is to do is to change someone's mindset. I won't say it's hard. I will say it's impossible. I will say it's impossible for me to change your mindset. If my mind is set on something, my family knows, I'm stubborn as a rock. And so I have to be open to the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth, to give me the mindset God wants. And over a period of years, God has, again and again, helped shift and change my mindset. What do I mean by a mindset? It means that I once believed that holiness was about what I did and did not do. That was my mindset because that was what the church had implanted in my mind as a teenager. So, you know, you didn't drink or play cards or dance or go with girls that do, right? Those were the things that you did not do, but you did go to church every Sunday. You attended Sunday school, Bible. In fact, you went to church twice on Sundays, Wednesday night, and if there was another Bible study, you probably went to it too, if you were going to be really holy, right? And that was my mindset. And I kept failing at it. Till one day I realized that real holiness is about allowing God's perfect love to be perfected in my heart, that I can learn how to love like Jesus loves. That's holiness. That's righteousness. It's His living through me. Now, the result is that there will be a transformation. I no longer want to do things that displease God. I no longer want to do things that are not a positive witness for Him. And as soon as I do one of those things, as soon as I have either a bad thought or a bad action, the Holy Spirit convicts me and I immediately repent and I come back into that loving relationship with God. So my mindset changed from one to the other. So fulfill my joy. Joy shared is joy multiplied. And when we are seeing one another suffer in the church, if there's been any consolation in Christ, you know what? We need to do something for those who need consolation. Any comfort of love, and we've received it, guess what the reason for our receiving that love is? To give it away. It's not to keep it. Any fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Well, our fellowship is null and void if it's not fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're nothing more than the Elks Club or some other social organization. Affection and mercy. The second part we see here from Paul is the attitude towards others. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. That's totally countercultural, right? That's totally countercultural. Our culture says, promote yourself. Our culture says, make sure people can see and know what you can do. I fought that my whole life. That pride, that arrogance gets in there when you succeed at something or you're really good at something. The desire is to let it be known. The other problem I have, I'll be quite honest, is I have a hard time recognizing other people's needs if I'm not told. And so my attitude towards others is not always selfish intentionally. It's not always conceited intentionally, but it may appear that way at times. But to esteem others more than myself. That doesn't mean I think that anyone is better than me, even when they may be better at something than me. That's not what this says. It says esteem them more than yourself. So you build people up. You esteem. You lift them up. It is a process of encouragement. It's a process of acknowledging in them what is good and what blesses and what ministers. You know, so often people never hear that. Nobody ever tells them how their actions have blessed someone else. So it's important that we do that. It's important that we express to others and esteem them more than ourselves. If I'm talking about me all the time, then I'm not esteeming you. Look out for the interests of others. Not necessarily more, but at least as much as my own. What's it say? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, so it's not telling you not to look out for your interests. Sometimes we get that and get that pushed aside. So, well, I got to take care of myself. So it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. A couple of my friends are really, really good at that. One visits quite frequently and is here often. He's up at Denali hunting right now. But one time we were snow machining and we had some activities we were going to do at his cabin. And we saw as we got off the train at the train stop that a guy had dumped a load of lumber that he was pulling on a snow machine. Tim turned around, drove a couple of 3 miles through the deep snow, went back and helped that guy get his lumber back on the sled. And it was a lot. It was a big deal. A lot of work. But that was Tim. If he sees a need, he doesn't even have to know the person. He stops and he tries to meet the need. We went fishing yesterday, and the guy driving the boat a day before was supposed to call us early in the evening for the next day. And he didn't call. And he just walked in the door when I called him about 8 o'clock. And he's a guide, fishing guide. And so somebody's boat broke down, and he had clients in his boat. He took his clients all the way back to the dock, and then he came back to tow these people in. Didn't know them. Wasn't his responsibility. But it was that attitude that says, look out for the interests of others. Are we doing that here in the church? That's really attractive to the world. When you look out for somebody else's interests and they think that you're out for something and they find out that it's for nothing but to just express to them the love of God, that is really attractive. And ultimately, we have to look at Jesus' attitude. So our attitude towards others, no selfish ambition, looking out for their interests, but Jesus' attitude. He is the Son of God. He is the God of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's God. And he took on the form of this mortal flesh. And I've just got to say, friends, boy, would I trade the throne of heaven for this? Would you? But he did. And he came. And he submitted in humble servanthood. So, if we want to be truth tellers, we need to look and say, one of the expressions of the love of Christ, if we're going to love one another as Christ has loved us, so that the world will know we are his disciples, is servanthood. So I got to toss out the question, how are you serving? How are you serving the body of Christ? How are you serving those that you come in contact with in your sphere of influence? Servanthood is a key part of who Jesus was here on earth. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he knelt and he washed his disciples' feet. I remind you that when he washed their feet, they had been walking through dung. The streets were littered with the dung of animals, and it got mixed in with the mud and the filth, and they wore sandals. And when they came in, no one was there to wash their feet as they came in. So he knelt and washed their feet. He gave himself as a sacrifice to pay for our sins, knowing full well just how horrible that sacrifice was going to be. But he was exalted because of that. Exalted that his name is above all names, from the beginning to the end. When he spoke his name, when the soldiers came to arrest him in the garden, he said, I am he. I am. That's his name. Yahweh. I am that I am. And when he spoke, I am, whoosh, all those powerful Roman soldiers were flattened by the power of his words. He could have said, poof, you're gone. and they had all been dust. Exalted above all creation, all will confess that Jesus is Lord. All those in heaven, all those in the spiritual realms, all those on earth, and all those under the earth, all will confess that Jesus is Lord. Who do you serve? So, therefore, how do you respond to that truth? Any consolation in Christ? Have you received it? How are you consoling others? Any comfort of love? How are you loving others? You know, these things, even the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, as you receive it, it grows as you share it. It's multiplied, the joy, the fulfillment. If life is hard for you, then find a way to love through the difficult time. Find a way to console through the difficult time. Find a way to comfort through the difficult time. Find a way to seek the truth. How are you being led by the Holy Spirit into all truth? And then are you speaking truth in your relationships with others? There's a lot of ways to serve. And right here in our own church family, there are many needs. So even if you aren't in a position where you can do certain things, there are other things you can do. And one of the things we can all do, we can all pray that God would raise up laborers for the harvest, because the harvest is ripe. It is ready. God is working. Whether you can see it or not, God is working. And he's working and waiting for us to rise up as laborers and to pray for those laborers. They'll come if you pray. New commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this they will know that you are my disciples. We need to be about the business of being lie detectors and truth tellers, loving as Christ has loved us. Father, I just thank you now for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. I thank you for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And I thank you, Father, for you who loved us so much that you gave us your only Son to prove that love. And you continue to love us day in, day out, in ways that are too wonderful to even count and speak. But help us to do so, Lord. And Father, show us those whom you want us to love, who you want to love through us. Now, Father, as we leave this place, I do pray. I pray, Father, that the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of you, God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be for each of us as we open our minds and allow you to set our minds in tune with Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.